All right, everybody, we're back. Minds Like Minds podcast. I'm your host, RL Melpica.
And I'm the co-host, Chef Definition.
And we're here today to do what we do best.
Talk that shit.
Talk that shit, but also get deep. And tonight, we're going to get metaphysical with our very, very, very special guest, Corby Mitlide, who is a certified tarot master, certified psychic, and also an author. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so very much.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome, awesome. We're looking forward to it. So how's your day going so far?
It's going wonderfully. The rain is being held off until tomorrow. Beautiful. Got cooking for a friend who just had surgery, and that's going. And I get to play with you. I mean, you know, I love doing podcasts. I get to shoot my mouth off for now.
Yeah, I know. We're so excited.
What you cooking?
Well, the typical recipe is beef stroganoff, but that's the Russian name, so we're calling it Ukrainian tractor stew.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. And the idea is the beef in there, the Russian tanks, and you sear them first, and then you put it in until they give up and melt.
So, I love
Slava
it.
Slava Ukraini.
Okay. Okay. Good, good, good deal. Good deal. Well, what we like to do on Minds Like Minds, first and foremost, when we have a special guest on our show, is I want our audience to get to know you. Like, who is Corby? How did she become certified tarot master, certified psychic, author, all of that great stuff? So tell us about you. Like, tell us your journey to where you are now.
All right. Well, for the WikiWoo stuff, I have the 30-second elevator speech because everybody wants to know. When I was 9, I read a book called The Witch Family by Eleanor Estes, and I thought, magic is in the world. Cool. I want to go find it. That's fine. Fast forward to 1973, when I was a senior in high school. And yes, my darlings, that tells you how old I am. That was the year Live and Let Die came out. Spencer Gibbs had the James Bond 007 tarot deck. And I bought it because we were all hippies then. It had your elephant bell bottoms and the fringe jacket and your deck. Now,
absolutely.
5 years later, everybody else had moved on to roller skates and disco balls. I was still reading with the cards. It fascinated me. So for 20 years, I read for friends, learned to keep my ego on the shelf and the message clear. All of a sudden, in the early 90s, I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. Yeah. That's when the universe handed me my draft notice and said, hello, you're working for me. So I did it part-time. Meanwhile, a very checkered other career, actress, author, inspirational speaker, writer for the graphic novel series ElfQuest, legal assistant, video producer, executive recruiter.
Wow.
But always the psychic work on the side, because that's what I love.
Uh-huh.
And then came 9/11. And as we watched the towers burn, I turned to my husband and I said, I have got to do the psychic work full time. People need to know there are other answers out there. He said, I believe in you, go do it. So for another year, I did 70 hours a week with corporate psychic work every evening and weekends till I was sure I could make a living. 2002, I shut the door on corporate, never looked back. Now I work 6 days a week, 14 hours a day. I read about 1,000 people a year, and I get to get up every morning. I don't have to get up every morning. That's the whole key.
That's beautiful.
That's dope.
That is awesome.
It is.
So you knew pretty early on that you had a gift.
I knew I had something.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what it was. Now, there's anecdotal evidence that those of us who do this work, and you know, I call it wiki woo. Look, I take my work seriously, me not so much. But apparently, most of us that do this for a living somehow got knocked on the head as kids.
Yep.
My version is when I was growing up, and believe it or not, Camden, New Jersey, back when it had white picket fences and it looked like something from Back to the Future. I was sliding down the hill, Kramer Hill, but they hadn't taught me how to roll off the sled. So I was rolling right toward a big cement bench. Boom. Of course, they rushed me to the hospital. Oh, my God, she's dead. Oh. Not even a cracked skull. But where did it hit me? Boom, right in the third eye.
Wow.
And it was only a couple of years later that I started to think, is there something out there?
Yeah.
Can I go play? So like I say, with no scientific evidence, but who cares? Enough of us have had it done that we look at each other and go, yeah, you're another one.
Right. Wow. Wow. That is true. Like, you know, all the metaphysical healers and psychics and mediums that I speak to, all had something, had some type of monumental event that sparked either the curiosity or, in your case, I mean, a pretty much a physical thing that yep. caused it. And that's really crazy. Do you surround yourself with other metaphysical teachers and healers and psychics?
We all hang out together, yeah. you know. When I say I'm on circuit for many, many years, I traveled coast to coast and into Canada doing spiritual expos, psychic fairs. Interestingly enough, I didn't want to quit, but the universe had something else in mind. Summer of 2019, back injury. Herniated disc, pinched nerve, makes having triplets look like a tea party. And they got me back in one piece. And then they said, excuse us, but you're toast. You will not be doing load in and load out, and you are not going to be 10 hours in the car anymore.
Right.
So in 4 months from like November to March 2020, I got my business completely online. And what happened in 2020, but the advent of the years of Murder Hornet Bingo and Hold My Beer. Now, all my buddies who were still just on circuit, their business tanked. Me, I was set. And I've done better in the past 2 years than I ever did on circuit because I have no overhead. Yeah. And I explained to people, yes, I can read you over the phone. If I could only read you in person, how do you know I'm not reading your body language? And they go, oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
So phone, Zoom, I mean, I have clients in Israel. They do not want to come to Cobleskill, New York with the sheep and the cows. They really don't.
Right, right. That's awesome. That's awesome. So what about it do you, like, because you've done it for a while. So, like, what about it?
It's Moses was in diapers, yes.
That's a long-ass time.
what brings you back? Like, what do you love about it? Is there anything particular you love about it? Besides the fact that you're really great at what you do.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. You know, when Spirit hands you your draft notice, it goes rifling through your inner file cabinet to see what you're good at.
Right.
Because we can't all do everything, just like a doctor is not going to be a cardiologist and a podiatrist and a dermatologist. He picks one thing. So with me, words are my drug of choice. So I love telling stories. Theater major at Brown University and acted in New York in the 80s and 90s. Nice. So I know characters. And I have been a history freak since I was a little kid in single digits. You put that all together, and the two things I do best are working with tarot and oracle cards, which tell stories,
right,
and past lives.
Wow.
Now, there's a difference
yep.
between retrieval and regression, okay? Regression is when somebody hypnotizes you and you go wandering in the Akashic and you go find things to look at.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Retrieval is what I do.
Okay.
You look at me and say, why do I have this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the one who goes up to the Akasha, pulls down the volume and says, read chapter 2.
Oh.
It feels safer on your part.
Wow.
But the key is there could be somebody over here who's very good at doing past lives. And it's me. And we both get the same vision.
Right.
Because they don't have my background. They may say, well, I see you. You're female in that life. And it's a long skirt and a big hat. And it's something really fancy in the background. So I know it's old fashioned. I could see the same thing and go, okay. Hobble skirt, picture hat, that kind of ostrich feather, and you are standing in front of the Brandenburg Gate, so that's probably Berlin in 1911 or 12. Which one's going to give you more information? On the other hand,
yeah.
do not expect spirit art out of me, because I cannot draw a stick figure with a sharp pencil and a lot of prayer.
You said spirit art?
Happening. Yes, people sit there and they say, oh, I see your Uncle Jerry, and I'm drawing him, and here's your guardian angel, and I go, look! Person, it's just not my thing.
Yeah, we were just at a wellness expo here in the Dallas area, and mm-hmm. there was someone doing spirit sketching. And it was fascinating. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting. But yeah, I can't draw.
Damn, I missed a shot that one.
Yeah, it was right in front. I thought it was pretty interesting. Wow. So I mean, you've done so many things, so many experiences. That's really amazing. I bet you have stories for days when it comes to readings.
Oh, I do. I would never have to pay for a beer in my life.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, part of it, my whole life has been about change.
Right.
When you've got as many lessons as I had to learn, you know, it was double major plus lab for my experiences. you keep rolling, you keep doing it. And it's where I learned to live the examined life. Okay. Right. We've done 3 bouts of breast cancer, 2 divorces, the death of 3 parents, 2 bios and the stepmother I adored, poverty, rape, abuse, you name it. But the key to the examined life is this. This is happening. I don't want it, but I have to go through it. What's the lesson I can take from it? For me, because I'm a teacher, how can I teach with it? And then you say, next. The problem is people don't know how to get out of their stories.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. It's like, let's take the cancer thing. For one thing, I never say I fought cancer, because what you fight fights back.
Right.
And I am not a survivor, because I do a lot more than hang on by teeth and toenails. Damn. I am a cancer dancer. I found out how graceful I could be under pressure, avoided getting my toes stepped on, and got off the dance floor in one piece. But there are women who, they've had cancer 12 years ago, and the first thing you hear is, "Hi, my name is Betty Lou, and I'm a cancer survivor."
Right.
I don't go around saying, "Hi, I was the 1973 Betty Crocker homemaker for Tabara for New Jersey when I was in high school." I was, but that was 50 years ago.
Right, right.
I've got lots more stories to tell.
For sure.
So that's one of the things that I work with people, is it's here are your opportunities and how to grab them. Here's the tough stuff. Here's how to get through it or around it. Here's your toolbox. Go rock and roll.
Right, right.
And because I'm about as dead dog practical a psychic as you will find, people don't get what I call glurpy purple with angels. You know, they're the ones that, "Hi, my name is Little Dancing Raccoon, and here's my friend Arctic Bear." No. I am from New York. You're gonna get a Kluberk upside the head, deal.
Let's keep it real. Yeah, that, but I love that. Let's keep it real.
I like it too, man.
Oh yes, yes, yes. I mean, wow. I mean, for all you've been through, and you know, congratulations, you know, for what you're doing. And you have so much light, you know what I'm saying? You talk about teaching and sharing it with the world. I mean, that. Thank you for that. I mean, that's what we're all about. That's why we continue to do this podcast, is to bring people on like yourself that can share this light to other people and not have people identify, like you said, identify with, you know, certain situations in their life, which they've gotten through and moved past. Like, let's keep it moving, right? You know, look forward to not looking back. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And that's what we implore here as well, is, you know, you're not your past, you know, stay in the present and let's move forward. So, with you, like ultimately when it's all said and done, what is the legacy that Corby wants to leave behind?
That's one of the questions I ask when I do my sentence of passion, consultations, what do you want to be remembered for? And for me, it will be incisive learning that's useful, and you laughed while you heard it. You know, you hear about how people get described when they die. "Oh, she was so kind, she was so generous."
Right.
I want people to say, "Oh my God, the stories I could tell you. She was hilarious."
Yes.
And
she took no shit from nobody.
Right on.
You know, my bullshit tolerance meter is set at featherweight.
I can dig. I love can it. Dig.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people say, "How often should you get a reading?" Well, let's say you all wanted to open up your own broadcast studio and you came to me for one of my entrepreneurs readings, and that was great. And 3 weeks later, you come back to me and say, "Everything rolled out just like you said, and here's where we are now. What's next?" Mm-hmm. I would be happy to bring you back. The ones that drive me nuts are the people who come and see me once a year at the same venues with the same questions. And I know I'm telling them the same things, but they never change. After 3 years, I'm like a good bartender and I cut them off, because they are wasting their money and my time.
Yeah.
Yep. At the end of the day. Yeah. That is so real, though.
That, I mean, because we have examples of our, you know, of our circle, mm-hmm. that me as well. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
A lot of the stuff that you're saying resonates with me as well. You know, and this is definitely one of those shows where it's just like, shut the fuck up and listen and learn. So, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah. You know, it's so prevalent, you know. Yeah, like you said, in our circle, but people that we work with, that I work with, that you provide them light, you provide them guidance. And it's almost like they take it in the moment. it's almost like they expect it to change on their own, or they expect something to happen, or whatever the case may be, and then they come back, like you said, with the same question, stuck in the same place. And
right.
It's like, yeah, people can't get out of their own way, and that's where really where it comes down to.
That's kind of what it resonated with me.
That's why I read the way I do. A lot of people say, oh, well, you should say nothing and you should just sit there and then they should just read you. I'm sorry, that's like trying to climb Everest in sneakers, kiddos. There's no grip.
Right.
When you sit down with me, I will first thing say, what's the most important thing you want to walk out of here knowing? And if you go blank on me, I'm going to go Brooklyn on you and go, darling, what's biting your butt? Because that, everybody's got one. But the reason I do that is because, I mean, I'm fast. But even in a half an hour, if I get from volume A to Q in your life, right, and you wanted me to read from volume W, you go, ah, she didn't tell me anything.
Right.
No. So let's say you were going to open up that broadcast studio.
Yep.
I would not flip a few cards and say, wait until January and fire the second redhead. It would be a card for you, a card for you, a card for the energy around the business, the brick and mortar location, how to market it, clients, competition, staff, finances, what you need to know, and best possible outcome. That's one of three deep dish multiples card spreads I've got for a career. So I don't consider it cheating to ask you, do you want to stay where you are, change jobs, or open your own place? It is because I give detailed information.
Yeah. Right.
Same thing with mediumship. There are a lot of people. God, there was a dear friend of mine. She died about 5-6 years ago. Her name was Allie Cheslick. She was a medium up here in Albany. And we called her Chatty Cathy of the Dead. Oh. Because you push a button on Allie and out she'd go.
Right.
You could not shut her up. But I don't do that. When I go to look for your dead person, I go for what I call the dog tags. For instance, my father, Jerome Richard Dorkin, who died in 2001 at the age of 80. Notice that tells me nothing, but it gets me into the energy.
Right.
I will then start telling you what I get. And for some reason, my guides do charades. This means smoking. This means toking. This, you know, a slam on their head means there was an accident. A hand over the face means intubated on oxygen or trouble breathing. And so we'll get definite things that says it's your person. For instance, there was a woman who wanted to talk to her father-in-law. All of a sudden, I feel myself miming a pool cue. He taught her how to play pool.
Hmm.
There is a woman in Kitchener, Ontario, who wanted to speak to her grandfather. All of a sudden, I feel myself saluting. Now, Americans salute palm down. Brits and Canadians palm out the way I did it. She had just graduated from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Academy 2 weeks before, and the grandfather was acknowledging that.
Wow.
See, that's not Aunt Rose loves you, here's a flower.
Right, it's the real thing. Right.
But
and that's out there, everybody.
Is,
yeah.
There is a reason why I don't do mediumship in public, and that's because I will not censor what comes out of my mouth. And I will first ask permission. And this is literally the story, no mockery done.
Right.
There was a woman, biracial, same gender couple. The black partner had died, her white widow wanted to speak to her. Now, y'all looking at this face, this was a nice Jewish kid in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I had manners. But what comes out of my mouth in flawless ebonics is, well, shit, if it ain't my white bitch. And I'm going, and the woman in front of me is laughing and nodding because that's how her partner, Isabel, came in from business trips every time.
Gotcha.
I can't do that
in
public, but I will do it one-on-one.
Right.
See that?
Yeah, that's the intimate type of reading that I would want.
Yeah,
sure.
Me too. I mean, because, you know, it's an authentic connection.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Mm-hmm.
But you have to leave your ego away. Okay. Because if my ego had said, oh, I can't say that, and I would have either changed the message or not even said it, she would not have had that absolute guarantee that she was in the presence of the woman she loved.
Yep.
So I do have a question. Like, do you often have to find yourself either censoring or kind of toning down the message that you get from the other side? You just shoot
it out. I never do.
Shoot it out.
That's why I will never do mediumship in public. Past lives are different.
Right.
Okay.
Because I don't know if y'all have it in Dallas, but we have first night Saratoga here. You do it New Year's Eve. It's Saratoga Springs wide. It's a family event, and they had me up there to do past life galleries. I would, you know, there'd be 75 people, 35 minutes. I'd get as many past lives as I could. And then I did that for three shows.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
There was a woman who said to me, I don't know what to do about my son. He's 29, won't live more than a mile from me. Asked me about everything. What is going on with this?
Right.
With a past life. And it took me about 3 seconds, and I go, okay, 1944, Utah Beach. He's one of the soldiers on the beach. He's got a pretty mangled leg. You're his commanding officer, and you're dragging him over one of the dunes. So you take some shrapnel too, but both of you get out of there alive. And she looks at me. She's pale. She says, can you tell me what my rank was? I said, yeah, you were a sergeant. She says, he's called me Sarge since he was 3 years old, and we never knew where that came from.
Wow. That's fascinating. That's amazing.
See, now that is fascinating, and you can hear it in public. There's nothing that will be embarrassing or that I won't want to say.
Right. Wow. So what do you think of kind of the new age? I call it the consciousness era, where people are getting way more into their spirituality. They're kind of pulling away from religion. And you see a lot of people, diving into tarot cards and different areas of spirituality. How do you feel about that for someone who's been in it for so long and kind of seeing the interest grow within the use?
Sold the franchise. Yeah. Well, the thing is, there's new age.
Right.
And there's newage, which rhymes with sewage. Ooh. You got to be careful.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Those are the madam.
This is real shit, everybody.
It is. It's, you know, it's let's talk Ouija boards. All let's right. Because they're big thing. Okay. All right. Now, Ouija boards, while technically they're no different from a crystal ball or tarot cards or anything like that, they have had such a really rotten rap that they've got a lot of negative energy around it, the way Santa Claus has a lot of positive, because it's what we all think of Santa Claus.
Right.
So, yes. Jane Roberts got Seth. Esther Hicks got Abraham. Pat Rodagast got Emmanuel with a Ouija board. But I have had to handle two hysterical teenagers who, when they put their hands on the planchet with no protection and just said, who's there, spelled backwards very fast was, I have an axe and I'm here to kill you. Trust me, that's not their Uncle Danny. And when everyone says, oh, but it's in the toy department, it can't be dangerous. This comes up at lectures all the time. I say, right. All right. In the audience, who has a kid or a grandchild under 10? Somebody raises their hand. You, how old? 8. What's his name? Josh. All right. Joshy comes to you and says, Grandma, I got all these on my report card. You said I could have a new toy. Let's go. And he drags you into the toy department over to a box that says, my first chainsaw. It's in the toy department. You're going to let him play with it by himself? I don't think so.
So
people don't think.
Right.
I don't think. So the thing is, can everybody do what I do? Absolutely. I tell people that. I'm not special. We're all wired like the same houseplant, but it's your circuit breaker. Me, circuit breakers off, power flows. People who think I do the devil's work, it's on locked and rusted shut. People who think there's nothing to this, but they always know when the mother-in-law is going to call, they have a shortened system. They think they're not getting anything, but they are.
Right.
So, yes, everyone can do what I do, but it takes some practice. Let's use the example of everybody has 10 fingers. Everybody can play chopsticks. Some of us really love the idea of playing. And so we learn scales and we practice and we do exercises. We learn to read music. We spend time on it. We get good. 1 in 20 million is Alicia Keys or Elton John. You know?
Truth. Very true.
But we all have 10 fingers.
Straight the fuck up.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean... So, with the earthbounds of the world, and you know, I'm not knocking earthbound, you know, nothing like that. Yeah. But I mean, the commercialization of metaphysics and spirituality, which is good, you know, in a lot of aspects. But I always say like this, like, you know, If you treat it like a hobby, it'll be a hobby. If you,
yes,
if you want it to be a career, if you want it to be something that you do and get better at, then you have to treat it as such. Put that level of energy towards it.
But you have to know when to say no.
Okay.
I came yo close to having my own reality show. Okay. But when they heard that I tell people you can do what I do, they go, no, that's not going to work. We have to tell everybody, you know, it's like the blonde guy who's the Hollywood medium or whatever. Nobody could do what you do. You're so amazing. I said, but that's not what I teach. That's a lie.
Right.
And they shrugged and they went off and got somebody else. It would not have been worth the money or the fame to lie about who I am.
They were looking for a puppet then.
Yeah. The one you're speaking of, the Hollywood medium, that's the one who just, I don't know if you watch Netflix, but he has a Netflix show now, I believe, if you're speaking of him. Mm-hmm. Younger
yeah.
guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And he sketches.
Live and be well, honey.
I think he sketches, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. They're not really sketches, you know, they're like doodles.
There's the Long Island medium who is a whole nother game. Yeah. I know someone that says she really got some very specific stuff when they went to one of her big events.
Really? But the Long Island medium?
Yeah.
That's
Teresa Caputo.
Yeah. She has like the big hair.
She's the blonde. The nails to here. Yeah.
You know, she had to look the part, right?
Right. She does what I call drive-by psychic shootings.
Okay.
They show her on her television show. You're shopping at Wegmans on Long Island and you're, you know, looking at the cantaloupes and she goes, excuse me, I have a message for you. Your Aunt Doris? She says you have a bull tire on the back of your car and you're going to die in a week if you don't get it fixed. Just telling you what she walks in.
Right.
Number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Her PR people went and scattered out all of the Wegmans on Long Island and chose one. Two, then they interviewed a bunch of people. Would you like to be on television? And had them sign model releases and then it gets rehearsed.
Right. Yep.
But there are people who think that's what you do.
Right.
Now, there's a place called Lilydale. It's one of the most famous spiritualist communities in the world. And people there know, they can say, hi, my name is Reverend Shirley. I'm from Lilydale. I believe I have a message. May I come to you? That's the formula. And if you say no, it's no. It's no. But unfortunately, a lot of people think that their ego trumps your privacy.
Right.
So I tell people, if that happens, you don't know this person, just go, I refuse the message. I don't want to hear it. And if they keep following you, you get the store manager because that's your message.
Right.
It is. But it happens at psychic fairs. To me, it's just a head thing, especially hands-on healers. You know, remember, I have a bad back. So sometimes I'll be in some pain and I'll ritz around. And they go, oh, can I help? I'm a second degree Reiki person. I'll do that. I say no. And they say, no, really, I can help. And they come at you.
Right.
Until I say, back off. And then they go, you're not very loving light, are you? You're not very nice. And then I have a terrible reputation with, you know, the little glurpy purples at the show. I don't care. Respect my boundaries.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. One of the reasons people are scared of us.
Yep.
They think we don't.
Yep. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Excellent motherfucking point.
So what would your advice be to someone who's looking to reach out, you know, for, you know, a reading of some sorts and trying to weed out the real from the phony, per se, just to keep it as elementary as
possible.
That's
this book. That's The Psychic Yellow Brick Road. There are two chapters in there.
Okay.
Psychics 101, The Good, the Bad, and the Cleos. And Psychics 102, How to Prep for a Great Psychic Experience.
Did you say The Good, the Bad, and the Cleos?
Yes, God. I did. But that's, you know, two whole chapters. Let's take it. What happens if you go to an expo?
Okay.
And you don't know anybody from Adam's House Cat?
Right.
Well, you have to be good puppies, literally. First, you go in and you do your walkies. And you just kind of walk around and look at all the booths. And you don't have to talk to anybody yet. So you get a feel for who's there. Then, like a good puppy, you're going to get paper trained. What that means is we all have rack cards or brochures.
Right.
And if anybody looks interesting, you're going to go and pick them up. And then you're going to go and you're going to sit and read them for a bit.
Right.
And see, there'll be three or four that you like. Go back and talk to us if we're not busy. If we are, talk to our front people. We have people who will explain us and sign you in. But remember, I can say I'm wonderful and that doesn't count. And we hire our front people to say they love us. My very first front person was the fabulous Laura Spickerman. Laura was my husband's office manager at the 8-building Revolutionary War Museum he ran Monday through Friday. Do you think she's going to dismiss as museum director? Probably not.
Right.
So what you want to do is you want to find our testimonial books. We all have them. And go through. These are people that have had readings. And you'll find, are we good? Are we funny? Are we accurate? Do we have specialties? Children, dogs, dead people. Would they come back? But the last thing is, guys, you got to check in on that heart chakra. You are putting your hard-earned money on the table. If the psychic doesn't feel like they have a brain in their head, they really give a damn about what they're doing, or they're going to give you good information, don't go there, no matter how cool the wiki-woo looks on the table.
Right.
And for God's sake, don't get hooked in. This is why I wrote the book. Another beer story. There was a show in Toronto, Ontario, 250 booths, massive. And I was across from several others. And we watched this little woman go walking down the aisles and looking at everybody. And then a fake gypsy comes running out from her booth and grabs the woman's arm. Now, in psychic show parlance, that's called hooking. And it's as bad as the other kind of hooking.
Right.
So the gypsy goes, oh, you no need to pay $30, $40, $50. I need your palm for 10. Go. Drags the woman into her booth behind her screen. 15 minutes later, we see that woman leaving crying hysterically. And a bunch of us run over. What happened? Well, the fake gypsy said, oh, you have a family curse. How many in your family? 4? Your dog? $50 every family member, $25 for a dog. He's small. We fix. And told the woman if she didn't burn 400 specially blessed candles at the Roman Catholic Church, I bless real good. Only $1 candle. Her entire family's gone die incarnate in 2 weeks, and she bought it.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. That's what this book will protect you from. And I love the fact that other psychics that have read this, they laugh, and they say, God, I wish I'd had this book when I was starting out, because it does sort of warn them against the one that I can't stand, you know, the when you shouldn't have a reading. It's especially when you have to hear what you want to hear. And here's the classic example. Every single psychic has had it. Does Bruce love me? No. Well, is he gonna love me? Not the way you want. Well, if I do such and such, is he gonna love me? He isn't. Oh, well, is he gonna call? No, he's not. Well, if he's not gonna call soon, is he gonna call later? And they beat on you.
Right, until they get
hoping that you will finally go, yes, yes, he loves you and he wants 7 babies with you, but he just doesn't know yet.
Wow.
Oh, good, I thought so.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right. So yeah, like I was telling you, it's funny did you say that about the hooker and the fake gypsy?
The gypsy.
Mm-hmm. See, because I was just telling RL about a story earlier in my life where I got scammed by a gypsy, or you know, a gypsy lady who's reading my palm, right? And she gave me like a little red string to tie around my finger and shit, and she tells me this really convincing, like, don't worry about the money. The money is going to come back to you. So I'm like, oh, okay. I want to know more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this went on like a couple times, man. She took X amount of money from me. And how I knew she was a fake is I see her. Like I'm somewhere in a restaurant and I'm eating and shit. And I look up and I'm like, damn, that's the gypsy right there. And her family and shit. And then, like, we made eye contact and she, like, just disappeared. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I want some of my motherfucking money back. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, damn. But, yeah, so.
Yeah. You know, sometimes they're not going to want to hear what we have to say, but we're right. Again, all my good stories, a Canadian. Reading in Kitchener, I saw a couple of challenges for a woman, and I told her what I saw. And she gets up and she goes, you suck. And she walks away. Live and be well.
Wow.
Who's the first person back in my booth the next time I'm up there? She sits down and says, best time I said you sucked. I said, yes, I remember. Because you told me that I was going to take in a boarder and then I'd probably want to sell my house. And I thought that was all bullshit. But my daughter got pregnant and moved home. And now I'm going to sell my house to help raise my grandson. And I still don't like you, but I want to know what else you say. Don't shoot the messenger.
Right, exactly. Wow.
I can see how that could
that's,
be an issue.
You know, you can't, if they don't like what you say, you can't backtrack. Mm. That's telling the universe, I will fudge information to be comfortable. Mm. It's not your job. As John Holland, who is a very, very well-known medium, says, kids, you're just the tube it comes through. It ain't you.
Right, Right. Say the tell everybody the name of that book again. We're going to put it in the description as well. But
The Psychic Yellow Brick Road: How to Find the Real Wizards and Avoid the Flying Monkeys.
That's gold right there.
The flying monkeys.
the Madam Hoo Ha's and the Swami Swalani's. Oh, yeah.
I was so terrified of the flying monkeys.
Well, it's funny, when we went to that expo, you talked about walking the dog, right? We went to the expo, and you know everything's everything's in rows, basically, right?
Yep.
And I remember telling another healer that works with us that, you know, when I walked up and down this first row in the front right, it just didn't feel right. Like the energy didn't feel right. And just kind of going by each booth, it just had a certain feel. Everything else fine. You know, I can get
you felt the sludge.
You felt it. You know, and it was such a contrast to the rest of the expo. And I told myself, yeah, I didn't buy anything from there. I didn't do anything down that row. It just had that feel to it. Yeah. So that's pure testimonial to that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really get the feeling of anything kind of jumping out at me. You know what I'm saying? Anybody kind of like, hey, I see something in you, or come on over here, let me talk to you. I ain't feel nothing.
No, it was no aggression, no hooking. It was merely just the feel I got, just walking through the energy that I got from walking by those booths.
Their
aura was beige.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
but it was, I did feel like there was a lot of extremely positive energy in the building.
Oh, yeah, overall. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely. Like,
My first expo, and it was amazing. I thought it was amazing. The people that I did talk to were very nice, and they seemed like they were pretty genuine. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
were there lectures there you could go to too?
Yeah, they had presentations. Most of them
did. Presentations.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was pretty. I mean, relatively for Dallas, it was one of the biggest. Mm-hmm. I think they do one that's bigger in the Fort Worth area, but it was pretty good. So you brought up the age-old question that most people seem to ask. Are love and relationship type questions the most that you get?
Yeah, they are. And after that, it's, I want the lottery numbers, and I look at them and I say, me first. Besides, if your psychic is not at least driving a Lexus, how do you know she knows?
Right.
For sure.
So probably secondary is like the question of, will I ever be rich? Or anything like that.
Yeah.
You get that a lot.
Yeah. A lot about career. You see, when people find out I used to be an executive recruiter for engineering and manufacturing, they'll talk to me about career because I know all the nuance.
Right.
And sometimes half of the reading is psychic and half of it is coaching them on how to take their interview on Thursday. But I don't care. And as long as they're fine with it, they spent their money, I will give them absolutely everything they need.
Hell yeah.
Sure. Coach on them the up. Other hand, there are some people I will not read.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you lean over my trade show booth and go, okay, tell me something you couldn't know about me. And if you're right, I'll have a reading. I will smile at you and say, I'm sorry. I don't roll over and fetch either. And I will turn my back and you will not get a reading.
Wow. That's people really do. That's rude. That's crazy.
I was sitting, taking a half an hour break for lunch. And the guy said, put that away. You don't need to eat right now. My wife wants a reading. Oh, look, you don't order me like a car wash, a burger, or a latte.
Right.
And I just said, I'm sorry. That's rude. And no, there's no connection here. Because I'm not worried, oh my God, I need to make my rent with this psychic there. I don't mind not reading the people who aren't right for me, because there are five kinds of people who will always show up. The first one is, well, you're not reading anything right now. Why don't you read me for half price? You'll at least make some money. Or, can my girlfriend and me come in and you just pay for one reading? Or, tell you what, give me a free reading this time. And if I think you're really good, I'll bring you lots of people tomorrow. Or, I really want a reading, but I can't afford it. And they stare at you, waiting for you to knuckle under.
Right.
And the one, what do you mean you won't read me for free? You're not very spiritual, are you?
Oh, goodness.
Now, for one thing, going to a psychic fair, especially one like Dow, right there, it's $1,500 laid out. Hotel, food, front person, booth fee, etc.
Wow. Okay?
So no, you're not getting a reading for free. And yes, people used to read people for free in the villages in medieval times because they would bring them a chicken or a cloak or some wood. I don't need any of that. I need the money to pay my bills.
Right.
So I look at them and I say, think about it this way. Would you say this to the hairdresser? Oh, you're just sitting around. Why don't you cut my hair for half price?
Right.
To the plumber. Well, put in my dishwasher and fix my shower, but you're here only once, so I'll pay once. Or clean my house, and if it's good, I'll tell other people. Or I really want that dress for my prom. Or my favorite one, you're a doctor. What do you mean you won't cure me without money? You just want me to get sick and die. And everyone hears this and says, that's crazy. I said, but that's what you just asked me to do. Right. And dawn breaks over Marblehead.
Wow. It's like, you know, so, I think people still look at it like it's a novelty or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, yes. we're at the carnival and we're putting a quarter in the token machine. Or
Madame Zora.
Yeah, exactly.
Zoltan. Zoltan, like a living musical. Yeah. No.
The great Zoltan. No.
The great Zoltan. Oh, man. What do you think of Hollywood's depiction of the metaphysical world? And have you seen, because, you know, you being, you know, doing some acting yourself, is there a film or a show or anything that does depict it correctly in your mind?
There are a couple that I really like. If you want to get an idea of what happens to us when we shuffle off this mortal coil, Defending Your Life with, I think, Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep. It's really how it works.
Defending Your Life? Write that down.
You said Defending Your Life
with Albert Brooks. Okay.
Yeah, it's like from the 90s. And the scene that every woman loves is because you can't gain weight in heaven. If you order a pie, they bring you 24 because you're not going to gain weight. It's wonderful.
All right. What
I understand is, when we cross over, we do our life with you, but you feel everything, all the kind things you did for people. You feel the joy, you feel the delight as if it is yours. But when you look at the nasty, bitchy, cruel things you did, you feel the pain that you caused other people. That is what hell is. But when you're done, you're done.
Right.
And then you go on. The way I explain it to people, especially the ones that say, well, the Bible says we only live once. I say, yeah, you're right, too. Because the soul, time and time and time again, y'all, me, we are one and done.
Right.
These recipes will never be back down here again. So how do I know I'm talking to my father when he pops in? Because sometimes when I do medical intuitive work, if it's cardiologist, he was a great cardiologist, he'll pop in. He is in his full soul self. But I say he puts on the Jerry Dorkin suit.
Gotcha.
But it's all the good things about my, it's all of his terrible puns and his incisive medical understanding and his deep compassion. What did he leave behind once he got out of the body? His depression, anxiety, and hypochondria, they're gone. He doesn't need them up there. Mm. All the good stuff is what the soul is.
Okay. I like that.
That's beautiful. It's, I don't believe in coincidences at all.
Yes.
So like literally my next question after the Hollywood question was going to be, what is your philosophy on life? And you just kind of laid it out. So, you know, as far as the death aspect, but I'll let you expound if
karma is not, karma is not carrot and stick. Karma is not bad and good. Karma is five things: unbalanced energy, which is a neutral, healing, service, contrast, and healing of beliefs. I did a great deal of work with Robert Schwartz, who did a great book series on pre-birth planning and life between life. First one you want to read is Your Soul's Plan.
Your Soul's Plan.
And I'm the only one who's ever been in Rob's books from both sides of the fence. I'm one of his channels, but my own cancer story is in that book under the name of Doris. And you'll see. I had a very, very rough childhood, very dysfunctional family, a very hard life. But it wasn't because I was bad. It was because I set out several things that I wanted to learn in this life. One of them was to appreciate being in a female body and not use it as a bargaining chip. Women are worth more than that. Most of the time I apparently come in as male. I do my tough work with female bodies. So you can imagine at 11, I had a Dolly Parton figure. But because of what my mother taught me about myself, which was very cruel and very wrong, I thought that was all I was worth for many years. That's one of the reasons why the breast cancer happened.
Mm.
First time was when I was acting in New York for lumpectomies, radiation, while I was working 6 hours a week, taking courses at the Actors Institute and auditioning. Second was in 2000 was skin cancer from the radiation. They were scarred, they were reshaped, and they were still there. But apparently I hadn't learned enough, because in 2004, I got a second primary, took the clock back to zero. But the doctor said, three strikes, you're out. So we're taking the rack, we're taking the ovaries, and you're going from this Dolly Parton figure to a fat fire plug with permanent side effects in 3 weeks, suck it up. And I had just been married to my husband a year and a half. Wow. I didn't know what was going to happen. Well, for one thing, I found out what a hero he was, because he looked at me and said, am I going to miss him? Oh, yeah, but I married you, not them. Second, I knew my lessons. I said, I have got to find three reasons to be okay with this, no matter how stupid they are.
Right.
One, you don't have them, you can't get cancer there. Two, they're not going to get slammed in the refrigerator door at the doctor's every year, and every woman listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. Three, implants, I'll be perky till I'm 93. This is cool. So when they wheeled me into the operating room and I was hepped up on fentanyl and Versed, which is the cocktail that puts you at the corner of left field and Space Cadet, I looked at the oncology surgeon who had the personality of Turner. I said, you got 3 hours for the demolition work. And I looked at my plastic surgeon, who in our family we call Madame Artiste and Doc Miracle, because she is and she makes them. And I said, you got 3 hours for the front end alignment. I want to be out in six. Boom. Well, I got out of Mass General in 3 days, shopped for a bathing suit in five. That was in 2004. Here I am in 2022, 67, whole, healed. The cancer was part of what happened, but I don't stay in that story. Right. I bring it up only to teach.
Right.
That is so heavy.
That is heavy.
That is so heavy. Wow.
I hope everyone listening to this is
extremely
taking
inspirational.
Notes. Yeah, for sure.
Extremely inspirational.
Like I said, thank you for everything you do. Wow.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
What else you want? I'm still ready.
I know. Hey, we know you're ready. We could talk to you for like 7 hours. Shit. I mean, anything.
Hell
right?
Yeah. Damn. So do you just like look at people and like you know, like, do you just kind of like look at them and start processing or going on what's on with them? So it's almost like,
not until we agree. Either you sit down and there's money exchanged, or it's a barter. Maybe you do bring me a chicken, or it's a gift. It's pro bono. Oh. Because people are very afraid that we're looking in their brains as they walk by. We have no morals.
Oh.
No, not at all. When you sit down with me, yes, I'm completely focused on you. Very eyes meet eyes, compassionate. But if you got up and then your buddy came and sat down, I would have done a core dump. I would not remember 10 minutes later what I told you, so that I don't mix it up with what they have.
Right.
I listen upstairs to what your guides and my guides are telling me you need. I will not necessarily do the same spread all the time. And I not only use tarot, but I use a whole bunch of oracle cards.
All right.
Bunches. The other thing I do is I have a children's deck. And this is really, really important. And it's one of the things that I teach my students when they say, I want to be a professional like you. All right. So let's say you're at a very, very busy psychic fair and a woman comes in, she's having a reading and her little 2-year-old muffin is squirming on her lap. Mommy, 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 one card, one card, one card. And she says, come muffin, please, pull apart. What are you going to do? Oh, look, muffin, death. No. You know, the kid will have nightmares. So right. I have a deck called Cat Wisdom.
Okay.
And it has things like kitties.
Oh, that's perfect.
Okay. Okay.
And don't worry. Now, that is what you show a little kid. And the little kid pulls the card, and the kid's fine. And mom says, thank you. We go over the read.
Nice.
See, these are some of the little things that people never think about.
The little nuances.
That when you're a professional, it's there. The other thing, in my book, You've Got the Magic Who Needs a Genie, I have sections that I call Corby Gets Candid that are the stories you're not going to find in a typical business book. For instance, one of the things that I have in the back of the book is a sign-in sheet that everybody who sits with me signs, writes down their name, their birthday, their email, and is it their first time? And there's a reason for this. London, Ontario, about 15 years ago, I did a reading, 20-year-old guy. He wasn't happy. Okay. The next morning, I find an anonymous death threat on my table.
Damn.
But handwriting, matched the handwriting of the sign-in sheet, and gave it to the police and they handled it.
Wow.
It is not sunshine and teddy bears in this field.
Right.
Especially not in this polarized America. I mean, you know, we've had evangelical dominionists who scream at us and spit at us as we walk in to do our job in an expo.
Right. I just can only imagine how they come with that closed minded shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was gonna bring that up next. Your family, when you made the decision to do this for a living, what was the reaction of those around you?
Well, by that time, but he knew who I was, as did my wonderful stepmother, Shirley. My brother tells people I'm a motivational speaker. Some members of my family are okay with it, and some think that all psychics are charlatans. I can't change their minds, but neither am I going to deny what I do well.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, no, there are no seven generations in my family. I'm the only one who does what I do, but I do it well, and I do it right, and I do it honestly. And I've made my peace with the fact that my family will never be proud of me.
Damn.
Man.
It is what it is.
Wow.
But, you know.
My husband is.
Hey.
That's what counts.
Yeah, that's a.
You know, I when I work with people and talk with people, it's like, you know, once you find out you find your calling, you follow your passion, that circle mm-hmm. is going to get smaller. And that's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be like that. Mm-hmm. You can't control that. Those are external factors. And unfortunately, the way our society's been conditioned to think, and with Hollywood and just all these narratives being pushed down our throats, you know, there's still those closed-minded people who look at metaphysics yeah. as if, you know, no knock on religion, but as if religion isn't metaphysics. It's the same thing. It's metaphysical
yeah.
too.
Yeah, but you know, they're not ready. They're not ready for that conversation no. because they're not even looking at They're not even looking at religion in that manner. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they only dealing with the crust of the motherfucker. You know, right. They ain't digging into the crust. And
there's Christianity and churchianity. They're into churchianity.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
And you know, I don't look like they expect.
Yeah.
I don't look weird. I have a New York accent, but it's not as bad as the Long Island Indian. You know, I go around in, you know, jeans and Star Trek or Doctor Who t-shirts. I don't look typical.
Right.
I dress the part when I'm in, yeah, this is like, you know, this is like a Starbucks uniform.
Right.
I have clothes that make me look like I know something.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I don't wear them outside to go to Price Chopper. No.
Right. Exactly. So. Exactly. Well, if somebody wanted to work with you, kind of, because I know you have a lot of services. So, like kind of talk about those services, kind of what the process is and all that good stuff.
Okay. One of the things that I tell you is only spend as much money as you need to. I will not upsell. I have little, what I call the burning question readings, where you simply send me a question and I'll send you back, like, you know, a 3-minute recording. It's, you know, $25. I do romance readings. I do general readings. I do sentence of passion consultations when you want to find out what am I here to do. Brainstorm your business. And I do soul plane readings, which are kind of the jewel in the crown. That's where you have something you're stumbling over. Why did I choose to parent handicapped children? Why did my fiance die a month after we got engaged? Things like that. Those are in the book. And it takes me 12 to 14 hours of deep trance meditation work before you and I are on the phone for an hour.
Wow.
Because okay. I'm pulling down past lives and talking to your higher self.
Gotcha.
Wow.
But those are luxuries. You don't need those.
Right.
You know, most people want a general reading. And I have, you know, 15 minutes, 30, a half an hour. I usually say do the 30. You have no idea how fast I go. Don't buy the hour, because if you do, you will have leftovers.
Gotcha. You really will. That makes
and
sense.
Since this is what I do for full time, you know, you can usually get a reading in a couple days.
Wow. Now, I want the general reading, because in my estimation, that's what most people would come to a psychic for, because they don't have that specific question. So just, you know, give me a general reading.
I call that the everyday tour bus.
Okay.
House, car, job, kids, finances. Okay, gotcha, put me here. Now what? Or who was I in 1642 Belgium? Or I want to speak to my spirit guide, Binky, or how's dead Aunt Mabel?
Right.
What to do? So, you know, you'll roll out what your priorities are, and we'll do as much as we can. Each of the Oracle decks have a specialty.
Right.
Tarot is what I use for the practicals. And we just roll it out. And you will always get a recording from me, always. Because I speak too fast, you'll never remember everything. And if you're taking notes, you're not listening.
Shit. Yeah, you're right about that. I love it. I tried to write down some shit, and I was like, you know what, fuck that.
There are one or two psychics that I know who screw up electronics. I'm not one of them.
Right.
So you'll get an MP3 download, or at a show, you'll get a CD.
That's good. Oh, see, okay. Yeah, nice. That, yeah. Nice. Okay, and you've talked about two of your books. You have a third, correct?
I've talked about three.
Oh, you did say the third?
We mentioned Clean Out Your Life.
That's right.
We didn't get to it. That's actually my first book, and that was a self-help book.
Okay.
The idea is that I will give $50 cold cash to anybody who's ever said, I've never had a self-help book in my life, because we all have.
We all have, yeah.
I remember the first self-help book I got in 1968 when I was 13, and I remember the first paragraph. Judy has a groovy wardrobe. She has fab makeup and her hair is far out. But nobody likes Judy because Judy's fat. So right there in one paragraph, I was told I was completely worthless and could do nothing unless I was thin. And you wonder why women have problems. So the thing is, we're in a victim mentality. We figure we need to be told what to do. We can't know what it is because there are so many experts out there touting that I know stuff. You know, Marie Kondo says, throw out all but 13 books. Is she nuts? No. So my book, Clarity, Adaptability, Simplicity, and Making Friends with Stress, because those are the four things that my clients really need.
Right.
And that's what they come to over and over again. But it's not do everything I tell you and it all gets better. It's here are some of the stupid things I did. Here's a client story. Here's some examples. Now, at the end of each chapter, you've got what I call the adventure pages that you have to answer from your own life experience. You're not going to find them on page 87. This is from How Perfect Destroys Good. Where do you beat yourself up most often and why? Reimagine one of those times with the idea that good can triumph over perfect. What does it look like now? How would your life change if you stopped thinking perfection was the only correct response to a project or a situation? So you have to look at your own life to answer those things. But if you do every single question at the end of each chapter, by the end of that book, both of you could have bought the book at the same time. But when you're done, each of you will have a different personal manual.
Nice.
I like it.
Nice.
That's the key.
And they can get all your books on your website or?
Amazon.
Okay.
They're all paperback or ebooks, Kindle.
Okay.
Clean Out Your Life Closet is actually also on Audible. I did the audiobook.
Oh, really? Okay. I haven't done the audiobooks yet. I'm thinking about doing it. I just, for some reason, I like the book in my hands. You know what I mean?
I loved audiobooks when I was doing all that traveling.
Yeah.
They keep me awake at 2 a.m.
The ideal of audiobooks.
Yeah. And the fact that you're actually reading it. Oh, that's a definite.
To me, you know, anybody can read a fiction book.
Right.
Because it's fiction. But a nonfiction book, if the author has any kind of a voice, they're going to put the conviction and the passion behind the words.
Exactly. Exactly. So. That's exciting to hear. Oh, man. Okay. Real quick. You're so witty. This popped in my head. Okay. For your fellow healers, individuals that are looking to get into the business, what's one piece of advice you could give them?
It's called pay fair to play fair. Do not sell yourself short. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't have a right to make money, that you don't have a right to ask for politeness, that you don't have a right to ask for respect. You are doing a service and it is valuable. Don't let anybody tell you that you're a carnival act or that they can tell you what to do. Just look at them and say, my two magic phrases, thank you for sharing. You may think that if you wish, and then you leave and go find the people who appreciate you.
Love it. Love it. Wow. I mean, I feel like we'd love to have you back on at some time because there's so, I feel we talked about anything. Like we bring up sports or something, you probably have a great take on, you know what I mean? Like you're so witty and your takes are amazing. And just your knowledge and your experience for two people who've been getting into the metaphysical world for probably the past 3 years. This is our third season on Minds Like Minds. Mm-hmm. And to have the honor to speak with you and just learn, you know, hear your experiences and all your wisdom. It's really amazing. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so
much. Like we say in New York, we'll have coffee, you know?
Yeah. We ever make it up to upstate New York. My wife's stepdad, I guess you would say, is from the Albany area. So he talks about it a lot.
You got an excuse. I will expect you.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So now we're so happy to have you. We're going to put all your stuff in the description so people can reach out to you. I know I'm going to be reaching out to you personally. I'm sure Chef is as well. I'm super intrigued. This was fantastic.
Hell yeah. I mean, I think it was very, very informative.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love your energy.
Yeah. Amazing energy.
I couldn't write down notes, but like, damn, it's kind of like mind blowing type shit.
We're gonna have to watch it again.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
look, I'm just gonna, you know, send the kudos back at you. It is so much easier to keep people engaged when the hosts know what they're talking about. They've done a little pre-work and they're actually listening.
Yeah,
I've done enough shows. Tell me, Corby, and they ask the first question I've given them, and I tell them, awesome. Tell me, Corby, please.
Right.
You guys were involved and engaged, and this was fun.
Awesome.
And yes,
yeah, I highly agree. Fun and informative.
Awesome. Well, I know everybody out there loved it too. Everybody out there, make sure you do subscribe to AkashaFlix so you can see the video version of this podcast and you know, see the energy we're talking about. I know you can hear
it's a lot of motherfucking
energy. Add that visual onto it as well.
A lot of energy in the building.
Corby, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back, everybody, next week. Peace.